We open our Bibles to Jeremiah 6, verse 16. As I'll mention in the sermon this morning, this is a verse for us to know very well, to memorize and have a real good sense of it. It's kind of a theme verse of our church. Hear now the word of the Lord, Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. While we'll touch on that last part of the verse, what I'd like to emphasize is the bulk of the beginning of the verse. Let me read that again. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. May God bless this, the reading, the preaching, the hearing, the believing, and the responding to this His holy word. Well, next Wednesday, December 1st, what we should see, and I encourage you all to drive by, and I intend to do that. I'll share a picture with you. But our billboard should go up. As you know, we've been blessed greatly with a down payment towards our plot of land we're selling with Mr. Harrigan over time. It'll take a few years, but a good down payment was given to us, and most of it we've committed to reaching out, to trying to reach the community, to invite people to come and worship Christ with us. And the billboard should start next Wednesday. I'm going to go make sure. And it should run through March. And what is it? What will the billboard have? Well, it'll have our logo on it. And it'll have the picture you often see on our websites. You see it on the cover of your bulletin, actually. This picture of an old path, a well-worn path, but a narrow path. And you'll see the foundation represented by those stones laid before us. And so that picture will be on the billboard, and it will have the phrase that is here on our bulletin as well. Walking the same old good paths and right rule along the narrow way. The emphasis on that theme and on our logo is building off primarily this scripture, Jeremiah 6:16 today. We'll look at other scriptures that we think about with it. And if you go on our website and click on the page for our logo, you'll see a reminder of this, an explanation of the scriptures. But the emphasis is on this scripture, and the emphasis of this scripture is getting back on the old paths. Getting back on the old paths. Everything's about new today, often in the church. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't make use of circumstantial things that are helpful. For instance, we have the internet in the room, and that allows us to, that allows us to do a live webcast for those who are sick or homebound. There are benefits for modern technology, but in terms of what it is to serve the Lord and His scriptures and to know His ways and the way to live our lives, it never changes. And we don't need a lot of new programs and a new way of doing things. We shouldn't be trying to attract people to the church with things that are not of the scriptures. We'll see from the scriptures that's to lose the rest of our souls. Restoring rest to our souls comes with coming back to the good old way of the Lord that never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We recognize that there's a change from the Old Testament circumstantial and judicial laws to what has come in Christ, the figure, the antitype of the figure, the truth, the fullness of the shadows of the Old Testament. But those things don't change the main things. Even we still have the sacraments that communicate the same thing. They just adjust because Christ has come. Living with the Lord is the same, such as looking at the Ten Commandments together. They still apply. It's still the right way to go. How often, sadly, even the church tends to excuse away these things. We need to come to the old paths. If you're on a hike, if you especially go out a little bit more out into the wilderness or in the mountains, if you stray from the well-worn path of others who have traveled there before you, you put yourself and you put your family and anyone following you in great danger. Sometimes we'll hear stories about that. Rescue crews out to find those who've strayed from the paths and can't get back and are at risk of death. We need to find and follow the path the old guys have safely set for us. For God's church to be restored into restful relations with Him that bless our souls, we must stop and see His good path that we have strayed from and ask Him to help us get back on track in our journey through this life. I give that to you as the main idea of our text in its context. For God's church to be restored into restful relations with Him that bless our souls, we must stop and see His good path that we have strayed from and ask Him to help us get back on track in our journey through life. Think of Psalm 1 that we just sang to open our worship with this morning. There's a call upon the people, decide who you are, church. Will you walk in the right paths in righteous company, that you would walk according to the way of the Lord? If you do, you'll be like a tree planted by the waterside. You'll be nourished and strong, bearing fruit with green leaves. You think about the kind of legacy that illustrates of what your family will be, your church and your country. On the other hand, if you decide not to walk with the righteous and the old path that never changed with the Lord, and you want to try to make your own new paths and go the way of the world and avoid the Lord and do it a different way, Psalm 1 says that you will ultimately be like the dust in the wind, amounting to nothing, dry and dispersed, nothing to leave behind you but filth and soot, if anything. Essentially, almost nothing left to see, to even remember. We are talking about Semper Reformanda here, the call of the Reformation. But Semper Reformanda is to be understood, translated, always reforming, always willing to change, always willing to find out what we have neglected or has been neglected to be taught to us in the Word of God, and to go there and to do that, and to have the humility of those in the times of Reformation, to have the humility of Apollos in the New Testament when Aquila and Priscilla approach him, say, you don't have quite everything you need to know about baptism. And then there's a change. Oh, thank you. I need to go back. I need to fully understand the scriptures and live by them. Semper Reformanda means always going back to the old biblical ways. It doesn't mean this idea of new ideas and moving forward with new ways that we come up with. It means going back to what God has said in His Bible. And let's face it, the church is largely illiterate with the Bible today. And so are we, the people. And therefore, we've got to be humble enough to admit there's a lot we're doing wrong or neglecting because we don't know any better, or because we've been taught to sinfully think we can pick and choose. And pick or choose the church we like the best for the buffet, like we go to the mall. But that's not the Reformation. That's not when there's real revival in the church and in the land. It's when people come back to the Word of God and they rediscover what it says and they cry out for violating it, even in ignorance, and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord by what we are learning. And we want to know the whole counsel of God. We live for God and not ourselves. We want to walk in His ways, not our ways. Mindful that Isaiah says, your ways and thoughts are not mine. Yours are evil, mine are good. Semper Reformanda is not renovation by our own tastes. It's not innovation by our own imaginations. Reformation, Semper Reformanda, is reformation by the Spirit, renewing us with the mind of Christ. So we return to the ancient, time-tested, eternally blessed ways of God, which He has revealed in and by the light of His Word, as given to us by faithful shepherds, preachers, and ministers who will hold it out before His people, even though those same people will often persecute them for it. So that we don't delay in the desert with the false shepherds who don't teach us God's Word. So that we don't get dragged away from the promised land into foreign lands with their gods and their lives and their end. Don't let their response to Jeremiah in this verse be yours, beloved. Let's read the verse again. First of all, what does God say to the church? This is a church he is about to severely discipline if they don't listen to him. And as you know, the rest of the story, even in the end of this verse, they don't. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I don't know about you, but that gives me goosebumps. That scares me. I can think of people who have essentially responded like that to the word. But also, it scares me that I might ever be like or say that. How scary it is to think the word of God is brought to us to obey the Lord, even in a simple thing. And so often the response is, no, I won't do it. Not because I have any good reason from the word, but simply I want to go the new ways of the world, which the church is all too happy to accommodate and often does. And then we use the excuse of everyone around us, sheep led to a slaughter. It's always been staggering to me when Session will often work with people directly. And they simply just refuse to obey the word of God. Sometimes they'll try to explain it away. We've often given like 25-page documents at times, a ton of work, which we know is likely not to be responded to or seriously studied, but we'll do it. And what's amazing to us is how it's just ignored. And we'll appeal and lament to, but don't you understand, this is what the word says. This is what all the commentators say. We'll quote, and don't you recognize what you're saying is no one says that. No one has ever taught that about a particular scripture. Yeah, we know. And apparently they know something that everybody else through all of history in the Bible and church somehow didn't know. And so we won't obey. We won't respond to what the Lord says. We don't want the old ways. We want the new ways of modern psychology and the world to tell us how to live and how to raise our families and how to be the church. And it really doesn't matter to us what God thinks about it at all as we gather right before him in worship and make worship really about us and not him. We will not find rest for our souls with that. And as you observe such folks and churches, there's no rest in their souls. In this verse, God is warning them. Look for my old paths. Stop. Stand. Look up. Recognize you are off the path. You are way off the path. And I'm about to send you into a foreign land because of it. Not only are you so far off the path, I'm going to send you that way so far that you're not in my promised land anymore. That I brought you here 3 years ago through the Red Sea in the desert. He's calling out to them at the beginning that they would believe Jeremiah. Stop and look and ask to be restored on the good old paths of Jehovah, or he will send you away in exile and you will end up lost without him. Something frighteningly established and reinforced by Ezekiel. Ichabod. Look at verse 8 with me of this chapter. Jeremiah 16, verse 8. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. And because they refused to listen to this and they refused to respond to God and repent and reform and be revived, that's exactly what happens to Jerusalem. That's exactly what happens to them as he sends them out. Look with me ahead to chapter 18 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 15. Jeremiah 18, verse 15. Because my people hath forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. says, because they won't listen to me, because they didn't listen to my warning in chapter 6. They're walking in their own ways. They're worshiping false gods in their land, and their life is becoming desolate. It's becoming a horrible life with somebody else being their king instead of God. A nation that God is using to discipline them and bring them to a place of finally repenting and reforming so he can bring them back into the land. He says, this is what's happened because you don't listen to me. Jeremiah 6:16, here's what's happened. Jeremiah 18:15, because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. They're walking new paths. They're going their own way. They're going the way of the world. They're going the way of other nations. They're ignoring my laws. They're ignoring my truth. They're ignoring the ancient paths. He said earlier in our verse, don't stray from these ancient paths. Stop and look and recognize you are so far off the ancient paths. But they are the only paths that will be a blessing to you. See that our souls will be lost if we lose God's soul from our midst by rejecting his ancient ways and thus his rewards, back in Jeremiah 6, verse 8. Jeremiah 6, verse 8. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. I'm calling upon for your souls to be revived in me by returning to my ways, my ancient paths that I've always been bringing you along by, to how to live in this world. But if you don't, my soul, essentially, my presence will be lost from you. Thus, your souls, in our verse today, will not have rest. There's no rest outside of God in Christ. There's no rest for the wicked. Let it not be our response as God's people, I will not walk therein. And we might say it in our mouths, or we might say it with our eyes. We often say it with our faces and our necks. Puffed up chests that show there's a hard heart inside. I won't do it. And that's what God constantly says of his church, right? You have hard hearts and you have stiff necks. And what's the stiff neck often referred to or recognized to be like? A stubborn donkey who just sits the stupid butt in the ground and digs his heels in the ground and will not be moved, no matter how hard you pull. That's often what God says it's like to lead his church. That's often. Ask Moses. Go back and look through the Pentateuch. That's often what it's like to try to lead God's church to the land flowing with milk and honey. Kind of crazy, isn't it? And you and I are all in danger of being like this. God is saying, go to the old paths, the right ways. Be easily led by the good shepherd and his under shepherds he's using to lead you. Plug your ears to the world. Open them that you would hear your good shepherd's voice. Instead, when modern church movements seek to mislead us away from God's word and thus his ways, remain focused on Philippians 3:16, which has been in this bulletin on the top left corner inside ever since I've been here. I didn't put it there, but I'm glad it remains there. And this is one of the other verses we highlight with our logo when we communicate. Nevertheless, wherefore, Paul says in the New Testament, nevertheless, wherefore we have already attained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. That's the heart of the Reformation. Let us go back to the Word and stay with the ancient paths of the Word. I love what we heard by one of the Puritan ladies in our Sabbath class today, of the Puritans with the Puritan Seminary. Forgive me for not feeling confident to try to reflect the names correctly, or the quote correctly, but one of those ladies essentially said, my understanding is near her dying days, Christ's rule is sufficient and the only way to follow. She was willing, as we learned, to suffer for her convictions of the truth of the scriptures and to stand for them in the Puritan movement. Beloved, let that be our heart, to stand in the same rule, mind the same thing. For Jesus promises in Matthew 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. The church is pretending to lead us to Jesus, but often by way of going a different way to him and how we would live, at least following him. But he's saying, come to me in my same ways, and that's where you'll have rest for your souls. That's what Jeremiah says. Come back to the old ancient ways and you will have rest for your souls. Let us ask Christ with confident faith to help us follow him always. Matthew 7:7-8, Jesus says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Jeremiah says, ask, stop, stand up, look, and ask God. We can't return to the paths on our own. We need him to move us in the Spirit. We need to pray for revival of the Holy Spirit, that he would make us a people that love his word and cry when we know we're violating it and rejoice in living it for him. Who like to be considered old. I appreciate what my wife has said. She was always told in church that she was a grandma. And she was accused of being a Puritan. How about that? That's what we should want to have said to us. You old Puritans, all you care about is obeying everything the Bible says. By God's grace, thank you. I like how my son is given a good example when someone insults him or says, he always says, thank you. That is a powerful way of just dismissing the attack, right? And when someone calls us a Puritan or a Calvinist, thank you. That's a sign that God's grace is working in me. That I want to walk the old path. That's a gracious thing that gives rest to my souls. I pray one day you'll know the same. Let us ask him to help us hear him as our great shepherd of the sheep. For he says in Matthew 7:13-14, enter ye in at the straight gate. This is the other of three verses that we highlight with our logo. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That is, few there be that find him, truly. Because to follow his ways is to follow him. And what happened in Matthew in the gospel when he calls upon his apostles? He says, follow me. And what happened? They dropped everything, including their livelihood, their fisher nets. They dropped everything and followed him immediately. Now, they had likely been seeing him for a while and knew who he was. But when he called on them, they followed immediately. To follow Jesus is to follow him who is the way. Few there be that find him, but he says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And of course, that is that we come to the Father through him and his living out the law perfectly and his paying our penalty for violating the law. We don't work our way to heaven with Christ. Nonetheless, to live and follow Christ is to obey him. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He was said to be the son of the Father said of him, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. Speaking of him in Psalm 40, quoted in Hebrews in the New Testament, he's the one that says, to do thy will is my delight. He said constantly in the gospel, I have come to do my Father's will. So if we're truly following Jesus and saved by him, we are following him along his narrow way, which is an ancient way. If you'll allow me to digress for a moment, why is it that we don't appreciate being connected to the past anymore? Why is it we don't teach our young people to value not only our elderly, but those who have gone before us for many generations, and to have a sense of an understanding of our history and a connection to them? The scriptures are always doing. One thing I love to think about with our Psalter, and I know I've shared this before, the same words and the same tunes have been sang by the saints for four centuries. It gives me goosebumps to think about that. All over the world, different little places. The saints gathered together. That doesn't mean we have to sing the exact same translation and use the exact same tune. But isn't it something special to think that we would be sharing that same Psalter with all the churches, not just now, but throughout our history? So, for instance, the tune to what often the modern churches will sing, although many probably not today, but the doxology, right? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. That's called the Old 100th. The name of the tune is called the Old 100th. What's that talking about? The original tune was originally for Psalm 100. It's a psalm tune because that's the scriptures. That's how we worship God, is the psalms. And so the Reformed churches, that's a name of the tune for Psalm 100. All people that on earth do dwell. Beloved, when you do come to the Father through Christ and seek out His way only through the faithful teaching of His good shepherds, when you really do that, be encouraged. God is telling you, ask for this. Jesus says, ask and seek, I will give this to you. Be encouraged to respond, not I will not, but respond, I will. Please help me, I ask you, God, help me to walk in your ways. By the blood of Christ and by the Holy Spirit, according to the word of God, which is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And it's the way that a young man gets his way correct, Psalm 119. Then be encouraged by Isaiah 30, verses 20 to 21, which was our call to worship this morning. Isaiah 20, 20 to 21, it'll be true for us in our time when the Lord by His Spirit grants us a true revival of spirit in our hearts, that we reform as did those in the scriptures and afterward in the Reformation and as the Puritans. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Of course, Isaiah is dealing with the same issues as Jeremiah and offering the same promises. And so I share with you from our website explaining our logo and our brand statement, as it were, that I referenced earlier from our bulletin. Here's what our website says. In following the example and exegesis of the Reformation and Puritan movements, we seek to go back to the scriptures and advance by returning to things like singing the Psalms a cappella in worship, using the King James Bible, and fully subscribing to the original Westminster standards, including the form of Presbyterian church government and directories of public and family worship, and not participating in the liturgical calendar with Roman Catholic holidays such as Christmas and Easter. For they, that is the old paths, are not broke and do not need fixing. Rather, our churches and society are so broken for straying from these old paths and ways. Let us follow Jesus along His narrow way. Beloved, today is a time that doesn't value tradition, does not value history. In fact, has a horrible disdain for such things. It's not a scriptural heart, and it will lead you away from the truth and from Christ. New is not necessarily better, and it's often worse off. Not only are we doomed to repeat history if we do not study it, also we are doomed to miss out on what the right ancients can guide us with. We are wise to stop and ask for directions from those who have learned the landscape and can warn us of the dangerous detours and predators all around us and point us toward the tried and true path to follow along and get us out of our messes and our danger. Who have walked with God and can tell us which way the Lord has always told us to go. His way. The ancient way. Let us stop and ask for directions by seeking God's true direction from His Word that never changes and is established forever in heaven. Let us find anew our Lord Jesus as we give ourselves to the law, the prophets, and the Psalms that He says all speak of Him. Let us truly search the Scriptures daily, for He says they speak of Him who alone is and speaks the truth. So that we truly walk with the strangers and pilgrims and aliens in this world who have all gone before us, Hebrews chapter 11. So that we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews chapter 12. Our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Our eyes on Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The highlight of his genealogy in Matthew, similar to Luke, a long, long genealogy with all these names from ancient history, through whom God brought us Christ, whom bring us to Christ. Though the way unto life is followed by few, and we stop and look over the Scriptures. As we stop and look over the Scriptures, we will yet see it has been a well-worn path before us, and it is still waiting to be rediscovered and walked upon again by this generation of God's church, in the footsteps of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Rachel, Moses, Ruth, David, John the Baptist, Peter, Paul, Mary, Lydia, Priscilla and Aquila, the Bereans, Augustine, the Reformers, the Puritans, Pastor Wallace Bell, who all have led the way in reviewing our ways to truly follow the Redeemer who is the way. Like every ancient and biblical revival and reformation, with the rediscovering and humble responding to God's law, getting back on the right path that is good and leads us and our children to walk in the light as He is in the light and have the good life now and especially forever. And let's not miss that last thing. Because these things are not only about living in this life, but they're all ultimately about where we end for eternal things. That word old in the Hebrew is olam. Do you remember that word from other sermons like on Psalm 136? His mercy endureth forever, forever is olam. That word old path is actually olam. It means the forever paths. The eternal paths, the ancient paths, the everlasting paths, they never change. Though Jesus, the Ancient of Days, says there be few that actually find this way, may we together, beloved, with the cloud of witnesses before us, ask for the old paths and walk in their good way. Our advertisements on the radio right now and our billboards that are just starting to go out there are communicating, inviting people to do that. As they come here, may that be what they find. May that be what we find anew in ourselves and the direction we're going. The message for you this morning, ask for the old paths and walk in the good way. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, we confess that we are often straying, wandering. We thank you, Jesus Christ. You are the good shepherd who goes after the lost sheep, brings them back to the fold. So bring us back closer to you, O Lord. Back to your ancient ways, O Ancient of Day. Back to the same walk and the same footsteps of the cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, pointing to you, Lord Jesus. that we would follow after you, who are the way, the truth, and the life, and the author and finisher of our faith. Guide our steps to walk with the righteous, to be like a tree planted by the waterside, fruitful and enjoying the tree of life in the end. Lord, build a legacy. Build our covenant families. Build your church. And let us look forward to eternity when we will be surrounding the throne of God and of the Lamb and worshiping you together with those throughout history who have followed that same path by your gracious work, revealed in the Word, moved by the Spirit, and covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, and all your people said, Amen.